Hello, people of the world. It is Sunday, and that can only mean one thing here at the Ben Briggs Podcast. It is podcast day. Holy fucking shit. It is Sunday the 28th of April, 2024. I hope you have had a good week, people. It is precisely 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I have left this a little bit later because I have been getting a few bits done this morning. I've been for a swim. I've been for a sauna. I've got some batch cooking done for the week. Holy shit. I'm like my own little housemaid going on today. Here we go. Organised and ready and sitting down. I hope your week's been good. I have... inevitably, as ever, been doing gigs this week. I've been doing new material nights and a couple of paid gigs as well, but mainly new material nights. So I've been bashing on through with some new stuff, having some good times, having some bad times. That is how it weighs itself out. And then coming home and thinking, holy shit, I need to work on this shit to make it work. But there you go. Also, I have been consumed, as the whole world has, it would seem, by the series Baby Reindeer, written by stand-up comedian Richard Gadd. It has gripped the nation, people. Everybody's talking about it. It is definitely a water cool moment. Not that I frequent water coolers at all. I'm not really a water cooler kind of a guy. I don't like the idea of other people having a communal drinking vessel that other people can just stick their head under and put their lips to. Ugh. Whoever invented those? You know those ones that you press and the little fountain of water comes out? Whoever invented those must be somebody who has money in virus medication, because they are just a petri dish. Of disease. Or maybe that's just me in my mind that I think that with my cleanliness thing that's going on. Who knows? Anyway, Baby Reindeer. Yes, if you haven't seen it, it is about a would-be stand-up comedian who is a stand-up comedian getting stalked by a rather rotund, fairly sexually aggressive woman. I think that's not, you know, that's not by the by. That's not too much to say that she was exceedingly sexually aggressive and twisting every single thing that he said into some sort of sexual motif. You get people like that, though, don't you? I mean, not to that extent, but you get people, don't you, who, like, everything is a fucking innuendo to them. They just try and twist everything. Okay, I realise you're not getting any sex, yeah? You don't need to get your little rocks off talking to me, do you? Or try and twist everything, you know, for that little cheap thrill. Oh, God, oh, my God, he said he's going to be coming late. I love that. Anyway, yeah, the series is fascinating. It's highly interesting. It is based on a true story, obviously. There has been a bit of a fallout from it. Obviously, he went through a horrendous situation with that. He went through another horrendous situation, which I won't, give you any spoilers if you haven't seen it. It's an eye-opening kind of cringe-inducing at times, kind of uncomfortable at times, serious. But the one thing that has come out of it is, because people have watched it and enjoyed it, then people can't just leave it at that. These days, everybody's got to be a bloody detective and go out there and try and track down this woman, which they have done. I have seen posted on Twitter and Facebook and all that sort of thing. It becomes like a mob mentality. That's the uncomfortable nature of it. Like, the program's about a stalker and then people watch that program and essentially stalk the woman who did the stalking. This is what it seems like anyway. Under the pretense of, hey, this is out there already. She's posting about it. I know, but she's clearly a mentally unstable woman. And then people on Twitter posting, you know, her status updates on Facebook. So they've screenshotted the Facebook updates and then they're posting them on Twitter. And it's clear that whatever therapy she had after stalking Richard Gadd in real life, it's clear that that didn't work. Oh, my God. I mean, it's insane. The posts are insane. But, you know, like, I imagine, you know, thousands and thousands of people badgering you and taking screenshots of your page and posting about you on the internet, that is not going to be conducive to a healthy state of mind if you're already, you know, a couple of sandwiches short of that picnic. It's not going to, it's going to tip you over the edge, people, isn't it? But the whole thing about it is, it's that whole witch hunt mob mentality that that human beings are awful for, just awful. You know, people can't just watch a program and go, oh, that was kind of weird. I need to know who this person is, and then I need to expose them. Like, we're all, you know, it's like everybody's a reporter for the Sun. They need to know all the dirt. They need to expose it, you know, just so they get a few likes and shares and shit like that. It's nice to see in some of the posts with Twitter, people are giving the people who are sharing all the stuff a little bit of shit for it. You know, I don't think that should be going on. And it is kind of weird when you do stand up. Not that I've ever been stalked, but you get the keynote people who want to be your mate and shit like that. You know, like want to wait afterwards and like talk to you. I just want to go home. That's all I want to do. That's what, you know, you get keynote people who go to every gig and that sort of thing and, you know, turn up and then just, you know, you've come off stage, you're relaxing, talking to somebody and suddenly they're there, like right in your face, looking like a little puppy dog. Ah, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Not that I get it that much, but, you know, I've had it on a couple of occasions and it's kind of weird. You know, they want to be your best friend, start messaging you on Instagram, that sort of thing. Not that that's bad all the time. It's nice for people to sort of like message and say, hey, I saw you at a gig tonight and that sort of thing. I really enjoyed your set. Nice. That's great. That's nice. It's when they follow it up with pictures of their fucking tits or handcuffed to a fucking radiator. That's when it gets a bit odd. I don't know. The real life woman, I won't say her name, is clearly insane from her posts, that which I'm assuming are real, because I haven't looked for her on Facebook, but you know, there's an awful lot of updates. I don't know how people find the time to stalk other people. I just don't know. There was just thousands of emails, thousands of text messages, you know, thousands on multiple platforms. It's fucking insane. Let's have a bit of tea. Hang on. I honestly don't know how people get the time to do it. I have barely enough time in the day to text my mother good morning in the morning, hope you have a lovely day, and then ring her at night. I have no real time. I suppose if you're obsessed with stuff, you know, things like work and eating and sleeping, go straight out the window. didn't they? I mean, like, you've got to take your hat off to her. She definitely committed to the relationship, whatever relationship she thought was going on in her head. She definitely committed to that. There's a lot of people who have commitment issues. This was not a woman who had commitment issues. She knew exactly what she wanted. She knew exactly what to say to try and get that. I mean, she wasn't backwards and coming forwards. And it is like a complicated, it's the first program like about stalking that has been on TV that actually addresses that complicated relationship between somebody being stalked and the stalker, isn't it? Because there is, you know, a little bit of a crossover and stuff like that. You know, if he was clearly a guy who needed attention and wanted attention and kind of courted that a little bit, and then, you know, unfortunately for him, it wasn't going to just stay as a light bit of flirting. Sometimes you misjudge the room. He read the room very wrong, which for a stand-up comedian, you know, can fuck up sometimes. He read the room very wrong and pretty much got burned for it. But, you know, he's got a Netflix program out of it, hasn't he? He's doing all right. She's, you know, going to get her time in the sun, a little bit of newspaper interest. She'll get a fucking bit of money out of that. And I don't know, she'll go on about this for years, I imagine. It's just the whole witch hunt mentality of getting excited. There's a glee. There's a horrible, horrible glee in people when somebody is either fucked up and they don't know about it and or done something wrong. There's an absolute glee in people going, ah, look at this person, you know. Nobody ever just leaves it alone. That's the worst thing about human beings. When we get into a mob, when you see a crowd or something like that, there's a definite thing that overtakes human beings. It's almost like a primal sort of like urge to pull things down or riot or destroy things. I don't really understand that, but there definitely is. You see it in mob mentality all the time. Where they just want to pull people down and destroy them. You know, she's obviously a very, very vulnerable woman. I'm not condoning what she's done. She's a fucking lunatic. But I don't think hounding her on social media is particularly going to be the best way to help her out or stop this situation. But yeah, she's absolutely fucking bizarre. Just the numerous amounts of Facebook updates, you know, and then the I'm going to bed, and then like, you know, 20 minutes later she's posted something else, like a massive long thing. She's just typing and typing and typing. You know what she should do for a job? She ought to be like, if she did data entry, she would be unbelievable. I mean, apart from the spelling and all that sort of thing, which is, you know, another aspect of the bizarreness, I think, isn't it? It's just that. It's like coming out like a stream of consciousness, isn't it? Just an insane stream of consciousness. But data entry, words per minute, she would fucking smash it. Absolutely smash it. Let's have a little bit more tea. So I watched that. I quite enjoyed that this week. I thoroughly recommend it. It's very well done. The acting in it is very good. I quite like the voiceover part as well, which is sort of like the internal monologue of it. His thoughts, his feelings and that. I thought that worked really well. It was almost Fight Club-esque. But there you go. What else has happened this week? Holy shit. Talking about lunatics and mental cases. Here we go. He says, checking his phone. Not that there's any lunatics or mental cases on my phone. It's, well, there might be, who knows. Lunatics and mental cases, that's where we were, wasn't it? St. George's Day, ho. What else could it be? If you want to talk about lunatics, mental cases and fucking idiots, it's St. George's Day. This is the, where in England, here, we celebrate fucking idiots on a yearly basis. And on a yearly basis, we allow idiots to come out into society where they have been shunned inside and locked inside for 364 days of the year, 365 days on a leap year. We have one day of the year in England. It's sort of like, you know, the time when the court jester had a go at the king, and he was the only one who could joke at the about the king on a particular date. This is our equivalent of that in England for fucking idiots. We allow one day of the year where people with a low IQ and no idea about how society works, they come out with their England flags, they wave them around, they make sort of like xenophobic comments, but very veiled xenophobic comments online. And then the day after that, we just shove them back in, ready to, you know, learn some more xenophobic and racist rhetoric. That's what we do. St. George's Day. Now, I am a card carrying, not a card carrying, I am an Englishman. That's what I am, people. I am an Englishman. There's something very strange about St. George's Day. Has a sort of like sinister aspect to it, very much so. The other patron saint days of the UK don't have. St. David's Day, you know, that doesn't seem to have an underlying aspect of xenophobia or racism to it. You know, St. Andrew's Day doesn't have that. St. Patrick's Day doesn't have that. It's just a like fucking free-for-all, innit? St. Patrick's Day is just like a celebration of going out, having a few Guinnesses, wearing one of those top hat things, you know, the little leprechaun beard. There's a lot of ginger fur that is used on hats on St. Patrick's Day. But for some reason, St. George's Day has, you know, seems to have been press-ganged and taken over by a bunch of fucking retards. I mean, I've been watching videos on TikTok. Yeah, I watch TikTok. I'm 47 years old and I watch TikTok. Yeah, what are you going to do about it? You're going to do nothing. But, yeah, it's just, you couldn't get anyone more English than me. Right? I'm English. My family's English. My ancestors are English. I think there's some Irish in there too far back, but that has been repressed and subjugated by my English side. My English side has taken over the space in my gene pool that was taken up by my Irish, distant Irish side. So I am a card-carrying Englishman, and I despair at just the fucking idiots online posting veiled racism, you know. Like, there was some videos I was watching of a march. There was a march. It's not a carnival. They didn't describe it as that. They didn't describe it as a carnival or a celebration or anything like that. It was a march, wasn't it? That immediately is, you know, an aggressive sort of stance, isn't it? We're having a march. That's it. Of people marching through London with their England flags. You know what it is? It's the Benidorm Brigade. It's the fucking idiots who go to Benidorm on holiday because it's warm, but it's kind of like England and they don't have to change that much. It's not too shocking for them, is it? Going to Benidorm, it's sort of the same. It's like England with a nice summer. I want my English breakfast. I want pints of lager that I can pronounce. And I want to watch football on the telly. It's fucking, you know. But I'm on holiday, annoying. It's all that lot, isn't it? So this match is going through London. It goes past a mosque and they're like, oh, they've got the Muslim security out. Well, of course they had, because there's a load of fucking idiots with England flags walking by. And then, you know, they start singing Sweet Caroline. Somebody in the comments put, Sweet Caroline, you're not English unless you sing this at every wedding, every christening, every birthday party, every anniversary. That's what we English do. Well, I'm English. I've never done that, mate. I don't believe you are representing me. You know, I find it difficult to relate to somebody who has tattoos all over his neck singing Sweet Caroline. Neil Diamond's got a fucking hell of a lot to answer for that song, I tell you. A hell of a lot. Who'd have thought that? And then if you read the comments under there, if you read the comments in that section, it just, there was a rage that built inside me reading those comments about, you know, just veiled racism because they haven't got the fucking guts to say it. Oh, this is what England should look like. This is what London should look like. I know what you fucking mean by that. We all know what you fucking mean by that. You just haven't got the fucking, you know, balls to come out and say it. It's all that whole veiled racism, isn't it? I know what you mean by that. You're saying it should be full of white people everywhere carrying England flags. You know, and I'm proud to be English as much as, you know, not that I think about it a lot, to be honest. And I am totally English. I'm English. I like football. I've got a short haircut, but that's possibly because I'm losing my hair rather than any for any political reasons. And you immediately get associated with people like that. And it's people like this that come up to you after gigs and they want to be your best friend because they see you on stage. I'm a little bit, you know, aggressive on stage, I suppose. That's sort of like assertive, I like to think, rather than aggressive. You've got that sort of stage persona and they want to be your fucking mate. And then they'll come along and go, oh, here's one for you, mate. Here's one for you. I've got a joke for you, mate. And it's just the most racist piece of shit you've ever heard in your life. And you just think, "What? You know, I don't even bother now when people come up, oh, here's one for you. I don't want to hear it, mate. I don't want to hear it because I know it's I know where it's going and I know you think you're really original. I know you think you're really original and you think we're going to be friends, but we're not going to be friends. I can tell. It's my job to work out a room. It's my job to, you know, read the room and work out what people are like. And just walking over here, I know I'm not going to like you. Ah, dear. I think the thing is, it's the deliberately trying to antagonise. You know, it's like, you know, in the school playground, if you like a girl and you pull her hair, it's that whole mentality of carrying an England flag, we're singing our song, this is our country. Deliberately using that to antagonise a different religious group or a different ethnicity. It's fucking sad. And it's those sort of people who make me proud, who make me not proud to be English. It's fucking idiots like that where I don't want to associate myself. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. nobody wants to associate themselves with the England flag because of fucking idiots like that. People like that are actually making less people, you know, wave their flags, like on St. George's Day, or take an interest in St. George's Day. That's the irony about it. They're saying, oh, this is what all of England should be like. Well, it would be if it weren't for you fuckers. I don't know, man. It's that fucking mentality. I've met so many people like that over the years. So many people, and they're all the same. Anyway, that was my take on St. George's Day. You know, it makes you, what, even when the football's on, like the Euros or the World Cup or something like that, it makes you not want to hang an England flag out of your window because you don't want to associate with fucking idiots like that. Anyway, let's move on to lighter things, shall we? Let's move on to a slightly lighter content, shall we? So, a woman in Northampton murdered... This is an unbelievable story. We've got our own Fred West in Northampton. Frieda West. Who is a teacher as well. We've got it. A former Northampton teacher accused of murdering her partner has told court that she was disgusted with her partner's mistress for invading their lives. That's what you do. Fiona Beale, age 49, of Moore Street, not very far from here, people. So basically, her husband was having an affair, I think. And then she, from what I've gleaned from the internet, men beware of this, by the way. From what I've gleaned from the internet, she found out about it. She lured her husband to the bed. That's what it said. Lured her husband to the bedroom with the promise of sex, tied him up. Kinky, isn't it? First of all. And then stabbed him to death. So if you learn anything from this, and then buried him in the garden. And she was a fucking teacher teaching kids. I imagine she wasn't teaching them that. If you want to, hey children, if you want to dispose of a body, the best place is possibly your own garden. And always, if you're a woman, always use sex to lure the guy to the bedroom because they're not going to say no. They're not going to say no, are they? No man is ever going to say no to that, are they? Come to the bedroom and we'll have sex. No man, look, sweetheart, do you mind? I'm watching the football right now. Jesus Christ, what is wrong with you? I'm watching the football, then I'm going to make a sandwich, then I'm going to do a bit of DIY. So I haven't got quite enough time. Of course, I bet he was up those stairs. That is a bad, I mean, like, I've had sex with people. You know, I've had sex within my life, right? And not all of that sex was as enjoyable as other sex I've had, right? So not as good or not as enjoyable. But I can fucking guarantee you that the excitement from about to have sex to not having sex has never dropped so quick than it did for that guy. Because I bet he was like getting tied up. He's hard. He's ready. She gets a knife out. He's thinking, this is fucking going kinky. And then suddenly goes sideways. But yeah, she buried him under the patio as well. In the garden. Sorry. I'm getting all... It wasn't quite under the patio. It was in the garden. But yeah, fucking hell. Local news there for you people. Local news. you got to watch some people, haven't you? Crazy, crazy fucking people out there. And she's a teacher. A teacher, people. Oh, my God. Anyway, that is half an hour done. Done, isn't it? That is this week's episode of the Ben Briggs podcast. I know, we ranted on a little bit, didn't we? We ranted on a little bit, but, you know, sometimes you got to, haven't you? Sometimes you got to. I hope you have a glorious week, people, doing whatever you're doing, making the most of your lives, going out there, being someone in the world, aren't you? You're being you. Have a great week, motherfuckers. I will speak to you next Sunday. Take care.